begin to work in us, we don't always comprehend what he's up to. And I would be the first to tell you that many, many times the Lord, you know, he'll release something to me. I'll check it. I'll double check it. And I'll say, okay, God, what are you doing? And I end up with very much that question mark over my head. Okay? And there are people that I hold in my heart at different seasons of my life. Now, why? I don't know why any more than you do. I question sometimes why he would, you know, ask me to do certain things. But faithful to the vision is all that God requires of us. Faithful. That's all. Okay? If you have a vision to do something, if you have a press or a quest of God to carry on and do something, you need to carry it on and you need to do it to the very best of your ability. And God will be honored when you obey. Okay? So I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And now Jeremiah went through some very, very difficult times, and he was actually confined or in prison in the courtyard. And it says that, you know, I'm just going to kind of give you a little bit of an upgrade here. It's a promise of restoration. And one of the things that this came actually in the early part of the afternoon. But this morning when I listened to the 700 Club as I was taking care of my little great-granddaughter, I heard some things about there's a lame duck president in Israel, and he's actually advertising that we should chop up Jerusalem and give it away and give it back and give this back and give that back. And then Pat Robertson made an incredible comment. I've never heard Pat make a comment to expose somebody's, I guess, nakedness, if that makes sense. He says, I know this man. I've known this man for years. I can tell you that years ago I had conversations with this man that he definitely said he would never give the land back, especially the city of Jerusalem, back to the Palestinians. And then he made another level of comment. He said, this is not the man that I knew. It's his body, but not him speaking. Now that is an intense comment coming on national television from a man of that stature. Now, I mean, that is telling you that there's a force operating through this lame duck president, which he's got a few more months to go, and he says, why doesn't he keep his mouth shut? That's on national television this morning. Not next week, not next year, now, today. I did not have that in my heart when I went to this word. Okay? That was not a part of my heart. I was stunned listening to Pat's comments because they were so intense and so severe. And if you have a chance at 11 o'clock tonight, it'll be played again. If you can get it on the website, you can definitely hear him say these words. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to let you know that the man of God is saying to you, here is a president of a country that has flipped out. What he was, he no longer is. What he was supposed to do and what he committed to do, he's not doing. He's willing to do just totally the opposite. Now, Jeremiah 33 says, a promise of restoration. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Say a second time. Everything is established in two or three witnesses, okay? This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down. Those, Judah represents praise. And so keep that in mind when you read this. To be used against siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. Babylon represents confusion. Okay? So when you read this, keep in mind what it means. Babylon is confusion. They will be filled with dead bodies of the men I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of its wickedness. I. Notice God says, I'm going to do this. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. So now we've already seen the destruction of Jerusalem. And God, in 1967, gave it back. And healing began. Correct? Are you listening? Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people. That's an incredible comment, isn't it? And will let them enjoy what? Abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity. I will rebuild them as they were before. What were they like when King Solomon was on the throne? The envy of the whole world. I will cleanse them from all the sin. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me. Notice he's doing all the work. And forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. Notice again, God is personal with this thing. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is desolate waste, without men or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, uninhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more the sound of joy and gladness and voices of bride and bridegroom, voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. As they were before. Got it? You think that president should be reading this? This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without men or animals, in all its towns, there will again be pastures for the shepherds to rest their flock. In the towns and in the hill countries, in the western foothills, and the Negev, in the territories of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, the flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Notice it's two. Okay? Huh? Yes. But it's two separate houses because they did split. But God is not interested in trying to keep them split. He's trying to tell us he's going to restore. Amen? Here's verse 15, which is quite astounding. In those days and at that time, I will make the righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, let's take a break. I will make a righteous branch. Who is that branch? Jesus in which form? Huh? How many can agree with Andy, or how many heard Andy? Would you read it louder? Jesus Christ in us is the branch. How can we prove it? Ah, we got to prove it. How many like proof? Okay, go to John chapter 15. Because you see, if we realize that Jesus already has come and he's ready to come again in a body of believers, we better definitely see why we call ourselves the branch. Look at your neighbor, say, you're going to learn you're a branch. Are you ready? John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who are the branches?
We are.
Amen. And you're going to bear
much fruit.
Much fruit. Yeah, okay, you're a fruit. That's why you're loving. I am the true vine, verse 1. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Whew! I don't want to be cut off, so watch out. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. How many of you have ever been pruned? How many know it hurts when you lose a couple of small branches or twigs? Even if supposedly dead, it's not without pain when he cuts it off. Okay. So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you remains in me and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Think about what that means. Why is it that we need the other branches? Why? Because a body of believers is also all these branches connected together, intermingling. See, we have this odd mentality in the body of Christ that we can do it on our own. And God says, you're not going to. I didn't design you that way. He said in Corinthians, we are the body, he is the head. Every single part of the body is supposed to coordinate together. We need each other. We need you. Okay? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. These are red letter words, by the way. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Is that clear? I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Oh, it must be written the same way in your Bible, huh? Apart from him, we can't do anything. Verse 6 is intense. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, those are his words. Go back to Jeremiah 33. Now you're going to understand. In those days, those are this day. Those days are now. Because this was written many years before our Lord came. In those days, at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. Are you ready to sprout? Yeah. He will do what is just and right in the land. Who is the he? Us. The body of Christ. In those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor will the priests who are Levites ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually, to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that the day and the night no longer come at their appointed times, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites, who are priests ministering before me, can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David my servants, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars of the sky and as measureless as the sands of the seashore. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you not noticed that these people are saying the Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose? So they despise my people and no longer regard them as a nation. This is what the Lord says. If I have not established my covenant with day and night and fixed the laws of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David, my servants, and will not choose one of his sons to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them. That promise is solid and firm. And I'm trying to tell you today, there were national headlines concerning that, and I'm trying to let you see, God is not going to be shaken by a president. He's not going to be shaken by those who think they have all the answers. He's going to be shaken by the body of Christ. He's going to be shaken by the body of Christ. He's going to be paying attention to what you and I do corporately. Corporately. Not independently. And when we stand in agreement, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Every tongue that is raised up against us, he will deal with. Isn't that cool? Close your eyes, please. Father, this word identifies them as the branch. And from now on, Father, when they read about the branch in the scriptures, they will awaken to the reality that they are those that will bear much fruit, and they will do it corporately in Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said, one job you got left, hug.